Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Jamal with a stroke of genius.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And NBA Finals are here.
Yep.
Right? The matchup is set. We got the Oklahoma City Thunder, led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, versus the Indiana Pacers, led by Tyrese Halliburton and the little engine that could. And as overall, I guess, what are your thoughts? Do you think this will be a competitive series? Do you think OKC will wash the Pacers, right? That's what the field is saying. That's what a lot of people are saying. Yeah, man, where do you currently stand on this?
Well, I'll start off by saying I'm absolutely going for the Pacers. I want the Pacers to win, but I don't think they will.
Reason why you want them to win? Like, why are you rooting for them?
I really like Tyrese Halliburton. Okay.
I do too.
Can admit I really don't like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And
we're talking about the player.
I wouldn't say I don't like him. I do like Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely rooting for the Pacers, but I do think the Thunder are a better team. Mm-hmm. I think the games might be competitive. I don't think the series will. I think the Thunder will probably win in six at most, but it will. I don't think it'll be as dominant as they were against the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
I mean, they kind of just washed the floor with them. I think I also want to give credit to both teams for making it this far.
Yeah,
like I said, they wiped the floor with the Timberwolves, and then the Pacers. They had a really good series against the Knicks. I think that series was won very early with Tyrese still in that game in New York.
Yep.
I think that's how they
still in two games.
The first game was really they were down. They had to come back, got the buzzer beater, then dominated in overtime. So I think the team is really driven by Tyrese, but I think the problem with him is he's very capable of giving you a 30-point triple-double, 30 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds, but he's also capable of giving you 6 points, 12 assists, and, like, 6 rebounds. Because he makes the point to where even if he's not scoring, he's always going to be a facilitator.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really affect his overall play, but in terms of scoring, his aggressiveness, and even his consistency isn't always there.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, like, Tyrese Halliburton is probably one of the – I don't even know if I can think of anybody else in the league right now that's, like, a pure point guard. Like, he is in a sense, right? Like, he is a pass-first facilitator first, right? He wants to run the show. He wants to get his guys going, which is great. But like you just said, man, you know, if you give me – I mean, if you – honestly, it's funny because if you look at his numbers, his regular season numbers, I think he averaged, like, 18 – like 6-9, something like that, right? Which, hey, if my starting point guard is giving me that, I'm cool. Like, you give me 18 points, you give me 6-7 rebounds, 8-9 assists a game, I'm cool with that. But obviously, we've seen that he has the ability to turn it on and just scorch you from deep, even with his, you know, unorthodox jump shot. And we've seen it, like, he can take it to the cup when he wants to. And he's a big point guard. He's like, what is he, 6'5"? So... yeah, I'm with you in that this series, Tyrese Halliburton has to be the most aggressive version of Tyrese Halliburton we've ever seen, right? Like, in order for the Pacers to have a chance, that has to happen. And it's funny, like, you look on the other side of it, you got Shai. Shai's not really, like, super ultra aggressive either. He just kind of – I feel like Shai just – I think his best ability is him. He can play at his own pace, and he'll always play at his own pace. He'll never get sped up. He'll never – you know, get rocked or get rallied in that way. And that's the good thing about him, right? Like, you watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you don't expect him to just, he'll methodically take over a game. I feel like he doesn't just like, oh, like I'm gonna go out here and drop 40. Like, no, he's just gonna pick and pop. He's gonna pick his spots, and he's just gonna kill you. He's gonna slowly but surely kill you. That's his game. That's how he plays. That's how his team plays. That's how his team operates. It's funny you said you're going for the Pacers. I'm always here for a good underdog story.
Mm-hmm.
OKC should. I mean, they're the better team on paper, like at every position, right? If you look at it, really, on paper, OKC should win this series in 4 to 5 games. But I've been telling everybody, man, I think Indy can make it very interesting because Indy is just as deep as OKC. They play scrappy like OKC does. They don't play scared. And if you kind of, I mean, if you look at the matchups, right? Okay, Shai, Tyrese. Okay, sure, Shai, you can obviously watch the Tyrese. But like, not in a disrespectful way, right? But like, he's the MVP. We know Shai's the better player. But like, Tyrese Halliburton is an all NBA player in his own right. I think he made the third team this year.
Right.
Right. You look at Andrew Nembhard, then you look at Lu Dort. Andrew Nembhard is a better offensive player than Lu Dort is. Lu Dort obviously is a tremendous all-NBA defensive player. I'm not arguing that. But Andrew Nembhard beats him in the offense on the offensive side of the ball. You look at small forward, Jalen Williams versus who is
Pascal Siakam.
Well, Pascal's more of a four.
I thought you said forward.
No. Well, small forward. But yeah, I mean, who starts for India at three? It's Tyrese, it's Nembhard. Oh, Aaron Nesmith. Yeah. Hey, Aaron Nesmith has been showing up these playoffs, right?
Definitely.
So we'll just see if that's lighting in a bottle or if this is the maturation of Aaron Nesmith before our very eyes. But obviously, J-Dub is the better player. Now you go to the four, you got Chet Holmgren, Pascal Siakam.
Eastern Conference Finals MVP,
yes.
Pascal Siakam.
And NBA champion Pascal Siakam.
Right.
I'm not so sure Pascal's not the better player.
I think he is.
Okay. But like, I think you could very easily make the argument Chet has the higher ceiling. But yeah, man, I think Pascal he has a deeper bag than Chet. He can really dribble and like create space for a guy, for a four. Yeah. You don't see guys at the four spot dribbling like that, honestly. So, yeah, I like Pascal Siakam in that matchup. And then you go to the five, Isaiah Hartenstein versus Miles Turner. Isaiah Hartenstein's a great rebounder, pretty solid interior defender. But I'll take Miles Turner over him, right? Like,
I think they're pretty equal.
They are, but I feel like Miles Turner, like, I mean, he's a legit 3-and-D center.
Oh, Miles Turner is definitely a guy. He's been in talks to go
straight
to the Lakers
for
a while.
Yes,
so,
yes.
He's been in Indy the whole time.
It's crazy. I mean, 10 years. Miles Turner has been in the league for 10 years. This doesn't even feel like that.
Right, definitely.
So, yeah, man. I mean, you go to the bench. You know, Thunder got Caruso, Cason Wallace, Aaron Wiggins. Who else? I feel like I'm forgetting some guys. For some reason, I can't remember who else is on OKC's bench. But, you know, they got some guys, good guys coming off the bench. Indy, you got TJ McConnell.
Yeah.
You got Benedict Mathurin, who's averaging 16 points off the bench. They got Obi Toppin.
He had a great night.
Yes, you got Obi Toppin. You got Tony Bradley, who's a great rebounder. Thomas Bryant, another big that can come in and stretch the floor and shoot threes.
I was going to say, he came
out of nowhere.
Who sent them home, basically.
Yeah, like, right. Thomas Bryant, yep, with those big threes. So, yeah, man, I mean, if you look at it on paper, like, Indy can match up very well with OKC, right? Granted, is OKC the better team? Yeah, sure. But I don't know by, like, how much.
Right.
Right? When you really look at it, I don't know by how much. Like, it might be marginally, like, at best, how much better OKC really is compared to the Indiana Pacers. So, yeah, man, I... If I had to pick, I'm tempted to say Indy in six. I'm tempted to say Indy in six. I don't know. I'm hoping for a good series, right? I'm hoping for a good back and forth. I don't want to see either one of them get, you know, washed in 4 or 5 games.
Right.
If Indy did that, I mean, at that point, then I guess the real question becomes like, how good is Tyrese Halliburton? Like, really, right? Like, compared to the other top players in the league, like, where does he really rank? if they were to pull something off like that. I mean, even if they wouldn't, regardless, like that's going to be the next question, right? But yeah, man, I'm hoping for a competitive series. I'm hoping for a good series. I'm hoping for a good back and forth. I think Tyrese and Shea will show up and show out. And I think the key for both squads is for the supporting cast to really show up, right? There's been nights where Jalen Williams hasn't shown up. There's been nights when Chet Holmgren hasn't shown up.
Right.
The Pacers, right? It's kind of like reverse because Tyrese Haliburton, it'll be nice where everybody else is going off, but then he can't get his. So that makes them look off. So it's going to be an interesting series for sure, hopefully. And then, I'm looking forward to it.
So I think everyone agrees Shea is already one of the best players in the league, yeah. Face of the league, MVP, obviously. But
right.
Do you think Tyrese Haliburton would have to win to start that conversation of where does he rank? Because I feel like he's already separated himself from Rise.
I think the conversation has already started, but I mean, dude, if they win, because like if they knock off OKC, I mean, people are going to be like, again, like, you know, me and you are sitting here saying the Pacers and the Thunder are pretty close, like probably way more close than a lot of people realize or even think. But I mean, yeah, dude, I think that would be the narrative, and you'd have to run with that, right? If Tyrese Haliburton and the Pacers knock off the best team in the league led by MVP Shea, like.
I think in terms of him as like a player, I think it's like I said, how when he's on, he can give you a 30-point triple-double. Yes. So it's like when he's on, he can be one of the best players in the league.
But yeah.
You normally don't see the best players in the league having the off nights he has as often as he has them.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I feel like that's why it's hard for people to.
Well, who do you even compare him to in the league now, right? Like, can you
guys like Jalen Brunson, guys like Jason Tatum?
So who do you think is the better player between him and Jalen Brunson?
Tyrese Haliburton.
Okay, yeah, yeah, but even like who would you compare to Tyrese Haliburton in terms of play style in today's NBA?
Trae Young is like the only guy,
right? And Trae Young, like he shoots a lot, he takes a lot more shots. Yeah. Right, a lot more shots. I mean, we know he's, I mean, Splash Brother-esque, right? Because we know he has deep range. I mean, so does Tyrese Haliburton, but like Trae Young, I feel like Trae Young is a score first facilitator, but Tyrese Haliburton is a legit pass first facilitator. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, Trae Young, I mean, that might be the only comp. And I mean, if you look at it on paper, I mean, the Hawks, I mean, yeah, they had that one run to the Eastern Conference Finals a few years ago, but aside from that, they've kind of been stuck in mediocrity with Trae Young at the helm. Tyrese Haliburton, he got drafted by the Kings, developed there, got traded to Indy a few short years later, back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals, and now we're in the finals.
I will say, I don't know what the Hawks were doing in terms of, like, they haven't gotten any help in...
Yeah,
Atlanta. They didn't bring in DeJounte Murray.
That was a bad move.
It didn't really even make sense.
No, it didn't.
On paper,
it didn't. It did. I tried to like give it grace, because you know DeJounte Murray, like young defensive first guard, I could see him playing off the ball, but in order for DeJounte Murray to do, and granted, like DeJounte Murray, he's like a bottom half top guard in the league, right? He's not like bad, but you know he's not. Up there,
right?
For him to do any damage, he needs the ball in his hands.
Yeah,
and you're playing as alongside Trae Young, man. If you're not a three and D guy, it's not gonna work.
Or a lob threat.
So yeah, the Hawks, they've had questionable roster construction for years, and yeah, I mean,
because I think that plays a huge part in it. Because like we said, how the Thunder and the Pacers teams aren't that close, and we went through the roster when, like, if you look at those, not only because it's one thing to be like the name, like, if you actually look at what they're, because before this playoff run, no one had heard of Andrew Nembhard before, unless you were like a Pacers fan Andrew Nesmith. And then, like, there's players that are showing up and performing at a high level, and I think that's really what it takes to be in this position,
right?
Like, obviously stars are what matter, stars are what lead the team, but it's a team game for a reason. Everybody has to step up and play their part at the same time.
1,000%. And you know, the Pacers, like I said, I mean, the little engine that could, right? Because nobody, I mean yeah, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, but I mean, I certainly wasn't sitting here thinking the Pacers were gonna go back this year. I mean, they were an afterthought, especially after the way they started the season. Like, it was it was looking real questionable. Tyrese Halliburton included, right? But they figured it out. They figured it out, man. Tyrese Halliburton. And I mean, Rick Carlisle even said it. He literally said when they clinched the East, he was like, our two star players, Tyrese and Pascal, like they showed up and carried.
Yeah.
Right? Once you hear that and it's like, dang, if you're Miles Turner, like, do you feel like, is that a dig at you? I don't think so, but I because Miles Turner, like you said, he's been the subject of trade rumors for probably, he's been in the league 10 years, probably the past five, right? Like Miles Turner has been repeatedly on the trade block. You know, I think he's definitely the third best player. And he's been playing phenomenal. He's been hitting his outside jump shots. And, you know, Miles Turner at his best, dude. I mean, I'd want Miles Turner as my starting center, right?
Same.
Dude has led the league in blocks, 3 years? He can shoot at a decent to a very high clip from the outside. He's athletic. Miles Turner, I mean, he checks off all the boxes for me in terms of what a starting center needs to do in today's NBA. So, I think, you know, going up against the Thunder, I mean, I definitely think he matches up well against Isaiah because you've got to bring Isaiah out on that perimeter, and then we'll see what Isaiah Hartenstein can really do, right? It's the same thing that really anybody that plays the Minnesota Timberwolves, if you have a 4 or 5 that can shoot, they're going to pull Rudy Gobert out and then they're going to let him go to work, right? So, yeah, man, the Pacers, I'm really liking their chances. OKC, I mean, when they're on, right? Like, that defense, man, they're going at it 48 straight minutes. You can't get nothing off. And the thing about OKC, and this applies to Indy too, but to a lesser degree, but OKC, that's the thing. They got dudes they can just keep throwing at Tyrese Halliburton, right? You got a Shea, who you got a Alex Caruso, you got a Lou Dort, you got a Jalen Williams, you got a Cason Wallace. You got five legit guys that you can just keep throwing at him. Keep throwing at him. Indy, I mean, to a lesser degree, you know, because Tyrese, he's not like the best defender, but they got Aaron Nesmith, TJ McConnell, Andrew Nembhard, right? Like, you got guys they can throw to. OKC, man, they're deep in their perimeter defense. They are deep in their perimeter defense. So it's going to be interesting to see how Indy figures out how to attack that. And, yeah, man, like I said, I keep coming back to this, but I truly do think it'll be a competitive series, and I hope it's more for the books.
Yeah, it's definitely a breath of fresh air. I think this has for sure been, I think going into the season, it might have been one of the, or it wasn't, like, there was nobody just going through the season. I mean, the Thunder, they were obviously the best team all year.
Mm.
And so they kind of stepped up. But, like, going into the season, there was nobody that kind of really stood out to, like, oh, this is going to be the team that's better than everybody. OKC took that mantle. But in the East, I felt like it was for sure wide open for a team to step up and show they were the best. I mean,
really? You don't think wide open in terms of perception or reality? Because, like, remember, like, a lot of people had Boston repeating. I did it, but a lot of people had Boston repeating.
I felt like it was a lot. I feel like Boston wasn't as good. Not as good. I don't think they were that much better than the rest of the teams. I think it was a lot more competitive. And then, obviously, with Jason Tatum getting hurt, that obviously killed their chances. So at that point, but they were already, like, deep into the playoffs at that point. But still, I think even with Jason Tatum, they weren't just like steamrolling their sweeping teams, just blowing everybody out of the water. So
right.
I think that it was definitely a time going into the season, a season where a team really had the chance to step up. And I think with the Pacers getting to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, I think they had a real chip on their shoulder to prove they could do it again,
right?
And really stepped into that role. I thought that they were the better team. I thought that I would have picked the Pacers over the Knicks, just beating them last season.
Yeah.
Just kind of, even with getting Karl Anthony Towns this season, I just didn't think that they, I think it's almost kind of like Trae Young in New York with what Tyrese did, seeing what he's been doing to them the last few seasons. Yeah. I feel like he really embraces his role as a villain in New York. So I really think that plays a part in being able to beat a team. Obviously not a huge part, but I think in terms of his ability, in terms of his consistency, I think it shows up more in New York when he buys into that role, when he accepts he's like the villain. He's like, oh, I got to go put on a show. I got to go beat these guys.
Yeah.
And so I think that like I said, from jump, I think the season was very open going into it, and the Pacers proved that they were the best team in the East. I would have liked to see what they could have done against a healthy Boston, but
yeah,
that's not obviously that's not their fault. So
no. I want to get into a quick conversation about parity, but before that, I want to ask you if you are, and I'm just gonna throw this out at you. I believe that the Minnesota Timberwolves, I believe they are one trade away from truly being finals contenders. I believe that they are a Jrue Holiday and a Kristaps Porzingis trade away from actually making the finals. I think Rudy Gobert, we've seen it. You are literally playing 4-on-5 basketball on the offensive side of the ball with him on the floor, right? Maybe some nights he'll give you 12, whatever. You've seen it. We've seen that experiment. It's just not what they need. You trade, and if you're Boston, right? That's been the talk all season. They got to trade Jrue. They got to trade Kristaps because they can't pay all these guys. They can't afford to.
Yeah.
Right? So if I'm Minnesota, can I get Jrue Holiday and Kristaps for Rudy Gobert, Dante, and some picks from the Rudy trade? I mean, can I do that? Because if you're Boston, I mean, I feel like Boston is the one team that can function without a like true point guard just because they have Tatum and Brown. Now, obviously, Tatum's going to be on the shelf, you know, but I feel like, I mean, and, you know, Peyton Pritchard, maybe he can step up in a Joe Mazzulla offense. Maybe he can step up and be a starter, right? But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I've been thinking about that the past couple of days. I really think the Minnesota Timberwolves are a Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis away from actually making a finals run.
I think that those pieces would definitely help them get to the finals. I don't know if that I can't pinpoint a specific thing I see that because I do agree that offensively Rudy gives you nothing, but they were so good defensively and him being the anchor of that.
Yeah.
And with the offense they got, I think Julius Randle, his consistency played a big part in them not making a finals run this season. I think that Anthony Edwards, obviously he stepped up and played his role as the leader of the team. But if you look at what Julius Randle did against the Lakers versus what Julius Randle did against the Thunder, I mean, it's like not, it was a completely different player. So yeah. I think that really that played the biggest part in them losing this season. But yeah. I definitely think a Kristaps and Jrue Holiday Jrue Holiday is just a winning player.
I feel like, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just feel like the Timberwolves don't have a floor general. I know they got Mike Conley, but Mike Conley's 37. We know Mike Conley, and I'll say this respectfully, Mike Conley hasn't been like, because look, Mike Conley was that, he was nice in Memphis.
Yep.
Like, very underrated player. He was nice in Memphis. He was even nice in Utah because he got traded to Utah when they drafted Ja, right? But like since Utah, I mean, he got to Minnesota. He's been serviceable. But I really feel like the Minnesota Timberwolves lack a floor general, right? When Ant can't figure out how to get going, when Julius can't figure out how to get going, right? Like they don't have just a stabilizing force. Jrue Holiday, we've literally seen it on two separate teams. He got traded to Milwaukee. What happens? They go on a finals run. He gets traded to Boston. What happens? They go on a finals run, right? He, like you said, he's just a winning player, and he's at the point guard position, and he's still one of the best perimeter defenders at the point guard position. And Boston, they didn't really use him as much this year, right? And if, like I said, if they get Kristaps too, swap him and Rudy. You got a stretched center now. Still a very good interior defender. Right, you can still anchor your defense. To me, you're not losing anything for the Timberwolves in terms of perimeter defense because you're getting Jrue Holiday. That's adding to it. You have him, and Jaden McDaniels out there on the wings. I think that's nightmares for everybody else.
I mean, I think it definitely makes perfect sense for Minnesota. I don't think
Boston.
Yeah.
Well, my only thing is like, because like we said, Rudy, he gives you nothing on offense, but if you're Boston. If you have a Jason Tatum and a Jaylen Brown and a Derek White, in theory, right, that's going to be their big three moving forward, I guess, right? Because you're going to trade Jrue, you're going to trade Kristaps. Your nucleus is Tatum, Brown. I don't know. Maybe they ship out Derek White. I don't see that happening, but this is under the assumption that it's White, Tatum, and Brown. That's your three. That's your nucleus. That's what you're building around. I mean, look, man, you put Rudy Gobert in the middle of that, and you literally just tell him, you just focus on defense. You just worry about that. Because Brown, Tatum, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, who else they got? I feel like I'm missing somebody. But, like, they got guys that can carry the offensive load and then some. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's been Rudy, the game plan around Rudy.
So you're against, like, trading for Rudy at all at this point, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Rudy Gobert is like, I just don't like the way he plays, I think.
So you're, okay, so if you're Minnesota in my hypothetical, like you're definitely making that deal, but if you're Boston, you're like, why would I?
Yeah, why would I trade for Rudy Gobert to not give me anything offensively?
Well, what would you, okay, because the other talk, there's some talk, I don't know if you've seen it, I've been seeing it. It's a lot of talk of Jrue Holiday getting traded to Sacramento. And the talk is trading Jrue Holiday to Sacramento for DeMar DeRozan. Do you want that? It'd be for like 1 year, right? Because Tatum's going to be out and they're saying DeMar would fill his role for the time being. I mean, if you're Boston, would you rather that?
No, I'd rather that.
Really? Okay. So
Rudy
Gobert. Yeah. So you do Jrue for DeMar.
Yeah, but I don't like Jrue in Sacramento.
Exactly. That yeah, that's not fair to Jrue.
Yeah.
I'm with you, but... I guess if you're Boston, if you do Sacramento, you could get DeMar and they have Jonas Valanciunas, and he was coming off the bench. I still think he's a starter in this league. So yeah, maybe. I don't know. Boston has got to make some moves, right? They got to come up. They have some tough decisions coming up.
And it's really hard to make them without Jason Tatum being available to play.
Maybe. I mean, we knew the. Listen, at the very least, we knew Jrue Holiday was going to be gone because, I mean, he's 34, 33, 34? And you're not going to re-up him, right? Like, you're not, especially when you still got, I think Derek White's going to have to get paid soon, or I think he got paid, or I know Kristaps' contract is about to come up, got to get Jrue Holiday an extension. It's just not, the owners sold the team. Like, they know, like, this train coming, man, I don't got the money for this. Somebody else can have these problems, right? So, yeah, I don't know. That's my thoughts. And also, where are you at on Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks? Because I'm not going to lie, I think the Knicks need to go in a different direction.
From who?
From Tom Thibodeau.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree.
Okay, because I just... And we've seen the Tom Thibodeau show as long as we've known it, right? We saw it in Chicago with Derrick Rose. We saw it in Minnesota. We're seeing it in New York. Tom Thibodeau is a good to, like, really, really good coach at times. But the man does not believe in a bench. He runs his starters into the ground. And when he decided to start playing his guys, I think it's fair to say it was almost like too little too late.
Yeah, I think
the
Knicks are definitely at a position where their roster is good enough to compete for a championship. I just don't think that, their coaching puts them in the best position as of right now. Like mm-hmm. we said, they have bench players. They have.
Dude, they had Landry Shamet. They had Precious Achiuwa. They had Miles McBride, Deuce McBride. Who else they got? They got your NBA twin, DeLon Wright. I've told you Lil Aiken before.
I think, yeah, you said.
I've told you that. Hey, I'm serious. Look up DeLon Wright. Tell me Lando doesn't look like that man. That could be his cousin. That could be his brother. Maybe that's Lando himself. I don't know.
That's the only time I've heard that.
I'm telling you, bro. I feel like you have an uncanny resemblance to that man. But yeah, no, the Knicks, they got Tyler Kolek. That's the rookie point guard they drafted. Didn't play him at all. Like, I don't know, man. Tom Thibodeau, and even this is, I'm saying all this with Jalen Brunson's flaws and with Karl Anthony Towns' flaws. Like, yeah, they gotta step up. They gotta be better. I'm not arguing that. But yeah, I truly believe the Knicks need to go in a different direction. And they also gotta figure out what they're gonna do with Mikal Bridges because his contract is coming up soon. I'm not so sure he resigns there. I'm not so sure the Knicks want him back. Right. I mean, they traded four first round draft picks for him. And he's kind of, I don't know, to be honest, I think before they traded for OG, it was like, okay, like I see it. You guys, you got Jalen, you got Dante, you got Mikal, You had Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson at the time. And then you trade for OG, and it's kind of like OG and Mikal, they're kind of the same player a little bit.
Yeah, they're like, right, a lot of the same
thing. Right. So, yeah, and then this, they got a lot of questions coming up, man. They got to figure that stuff out. But I definitely think Tom Thibodeau needs to go.
Yeah, I definitely will not be surprised if they part ways this offseason. But if they don't,
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. But I don't think it'll work going forward, especially because, like you said, he doesn't believe in a bench, and he's not. Tom Thibodeau has been a coach for decades. He's not gonna.
He doesn't change. Right. He has not changed. Which, you know, fair, right? If you're gonna be stuck in your ways, be stuck in your ways. But yeah, dude, you just can't do that. Like, we've seen it. He doesn't have a recipe for success. He hasn't won.
Right.
He hasn't won. He's been close, all smoke, no cigar. He's been close many times. Many times, all smoke, no cigars.
What's the closest he's been? Has he been to the finals?
No, he made the Eastern Conference Finals with the Bulls.
Yeah.
He made the Eastern Conference Finals with the Bulls. Over here destroying Derrick Rose's knee, man. I'll never forgive him for that. I'll never forgive him for that. But, okay, so, all right, parity in the NBA. Are you here for it? Are you of the mindset like, nah, like, you want to see, like, the stars out, like, because, you know, a lot of people are, like, pooping this finals because it's, like, the Thunder and the Pacers, like, who plays for them, right? Small market teams. Me, personally, I like parity. I like the fact that it is wide open. I respect dynasties. I like dynasties. I like organic dynasties, right? I don't like KD going to the Warriors. That was forced. I didn't like that, right? But, I mean, LeBron going to Miami, that was forced. But I like parity. I like the fact that every team has a legit chance. I'm here for it. What about you?
I don't really have an opposite. Like, I never really was like, oh my God, I hated the Warriors and Cavs again. Mm-hmm. Obviously, well, I mean, maybe it's because I was going for the war. I was going for the Cavs, obviously, but
yeah.
I'm trying to, like, when I was a lot younger, but when the Lakers were winning their three-peat, going to the finals, like, I don't really mind that. And I'm definitely not opposed to it being like a breath of fresh air, but I think I'm okay with the best team being in the NBA Finals, regardless of who that is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the Seattle Supersonics the year they come back, so be it. If it's the Los Angeles Lakers for the 40th time, so be it. But yeah. I think getting caught up, like, I feel like that doesn't matter. Like, who, when people are like, oh, this is the Thunder and the Pacers yawn, like, it's this new, the ratings. Like, who cares about the ratings?
Right.
Obviously, the better teams, like the Knicks, it being the Knicks and the Timberwolves.
Oh, that would have been a ratings frenzy.
Other than it being the narrative of, oh, like Cat playing his old team and Julie, like the,
well, even, but like the Knicks, right? The New York Knicks back in the NBA Finals since 1999, like,
right? I'm just saying that doesn't mean it would be better basketball. So,
oh,
like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like people get too caught up in stuff like that.
1,000%. I think we're about to get treated to a very good basketball series.
Right.
So, yeah, I hear you on that. Like you said, man, I'm here for the best teams to win, and the best teams are the Oklahoma City Thunder of the West and the Indiana Pacers of the East.
Yep.
Right? And it's time for them to duke it out. It's time for them to duke it out, man. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I just want to see the best players play. I want to see the best teams play, and made the best team and the players win, man. That's all I care about, you know?
Yep. I think that, like I said, from jump, I really do. I hope the Pacers can win. I think the...
And you can ask me too, but, like, what's your hard line prediction?
Thunder and six.
Thunder and six.
What about you?
My head says one thing, my heart says another. I think I got to ride with you, Thunder and six. My head says Thunder and six, but my heart says Indian seven. My heart says Indian seven.
I will say if the games come down to the wire and they're pretty close, I do have more faith in the Pacers.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, like, they have the experience, and Tyrese is, I think, what is it, like 11 or 12, 11 for 12 from on like game tying or like game winning shots. And like, that's like unheard of.
I forgot what the Pacers record was, but basically like they're almost unbeaten when they drop more than 120 points, which I mean, it could be a very hard task to do against the Oklahoma City Thunder defense.
Right.
But if they can do it, like if you can find the chinks in that armor, if you can find the cracks in that defense, it's wide open, man. It's wide open. So
the main thing, I think the main thing for the Pacers was find a way to guard Shea without fouling. I feel like obviously that's been everybody's game plan, and that's what you say. But
I mean, obviously they're going to throw.
At the end of the day, if you can't keep him off the free throw line, you're not going to win.
Yeah. They're going to throw Aaron Nesmith at him early. Him and Andrew Nembhard, I feel like, are going to rotate in terms of having that defensive duty.
And I got to say, like, I'm surprised that Shea is still having success in the playoffs, to be completely honest. I've said it before, when your regular season, when the majority of your, when a large proportion of your points come from the free throw line in the regular season, we've seen time and time again that not translate to the playoffs.
James Harden.
Just because that whistle tightens up, they allow a little more physicality, the stakes are higher, so they don't want to be as in, the refs don't want to, you know, determine things as much. So
right.
The fact that it has, I mean, I get credit to him for being able to figure out how to make that translate. I just not a fan of it. I think that obviously fouling and playing, shooting free throws and stuff is a part of the game, but
yeah.
I've never been a fan of playing to get fouls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not even to say in terms of like flopping and things, because I think you do have to sell a call sometimes.
Yeah.
But like when, like I've said it with Luka, there are certain shots he takes where that's only even a good attempt of a shot if they call that foul. So when they don't, and you're just sitting there like
Luka,
it looks terrible.
Jalen Brunson, I mean Shea to a lesser degree. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I hate Jalen Brunson. Like He literally plays basketball like it's football.
Yeah.
Like he'll buck his shoulder into you. Like he's dipping that shoulder. He's ready for that contact. Which, I mean, in theory, I'm fine with it as long as the rest of the defender play as physical as Jalen Brunson is, right? But the problem is he can do that. He can get pump fake, get the defender there. He can buck him again, and then that's a foul on the defender. That doesn't make sense to me, bro.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to me. In the NBA, they made rules to tighten up that, but I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel like it's really not doing anything.
I feel like they announce stuff sometimes and then just like don't enforce.
Like, do you remember what I'm talking about, though? They announced like an anti-flopping foul.
For sure. They specifically said you would get fined for flopping. And then they said like on specific, like when you say when they pump fake, get the guy in there and then lean and jump. They said that wasn't going to be a defensive foul anymore. And it's definitely still being called a foul.
Man, so come on. We got to get better about that. We got to get better about that. I hate seeing that. OKC in six.
Yes, thinks what's gonna happen. I want the Pacers to win, but I don't think they will.
Yeah. I think I'm right there with you. OKC in six, but again, my heart says Indy in seven. I kind of hope my heart is right. I'm not gonna lie. Let me ask something real quick before we get out of here. If the Thunder lose this series, is that enough justification to, I wouldn't even say blow it up, but to retool? Say F it, J-Dub, Chet, and a bunch of first-round draft picks. Let me go get Giannis.
Absolutely not. Neither one of these teams should make any type of significant change this finals run.
Okay.
Look, even though I was one of the main benefactors for it, moving on from anything after a finals run is idiotic. Nico Harrison and the Dallas Mavericks. You build off of a finals run.
Right. Okay. So under no circumstances.
No.
What if you could get Kevin Durant back?
Mm-mm.
No, but you thought about it a little bit, though.
It's just because the name of Kevin Durant like rings bells, but in terms of the success they have, I think the pieces they'd have to give up they'd lose.
I think you'd have to give up less to get Kevin Durant than you would have to get Giannis.
Well, yeah, either I think, well, yeah, you, I think it's definitely at this point in 2025, but I'm saying the pieces you'd have to give up for either would be key pieces that got you to the finals.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be supplemented by the replacing that with Kevin Durant, especially because, well, a Pacers team might, but the Thunder, they don't
need... Yeah, I'm strictly talking about the Thunder here.
The Thunder, they don't need a guy who can score. Like, they don't need a guy to come in to be what Shea is doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, because obviously they haven't. Well, this is saying if they lost, but we don't know. It would be, depending on how they lose, I don't think a player like Kevin Durant is... I don't think missing them not having a player like Kevin Durant on their current team is why they would end up losing. I think they would, I don't know, I don't think they will lose. So I don't know why I could see them lose. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. I'm just throwing stuff out there. Just throwing stuff out there. Cause I mean.
But I would not.
Cause I mean, but that'll be the talk though. Like if OKC loses, like that'll definitely be the talk.
Yeah, but I think they should ignore the talk.
But you also have to, I mean.
And get small, like. Because it's a finals run, you're right on the cusp.
Yes.
Like, I think you need to only add, not, I mean, like, I'm not talking about, you don't trade anybody. You don't.
I mean, they don't even have, they didn't even have their first round draft pick from this year because he tore his ACL and Nikola Topic. So,
right. I think you try to get some players in the draft, try to get a free agent or two.
That's the thing, though. The Thunder have so many draft picks, like so many.
Oh, well, if you can trade away nothing but your draft picks
to go get somebody,
yeah, then that's cool. But I don't think
that would, yeah. I mean, you probably could, for, but like not a Kevin Durant or Giannis tier. It'd probably be a.
If it's like, oh, trade two picks, Chet and J Dub, like, no, I don't think you should do that.
okay. I think Sam Presti, I think he has two moves up his sleeve. If the Thunder win, then yeah, we reload, whatever. Some guys may have to go because, you know, you can't pay everybody, but like the Aaron Wiggins, the Isaiah Joes of the world, like they may have to go, but like the core stays the same, right? Shea, Lou, J-Dub, Chet, Isaiah now, Cason Wallace, like that stays the same, right? But if we lose, that's a lot of draft pick. You got a lot of draft picks and you got guys that, I mean, you have great trade pieces in J-Dub, Chet. I mean, you could throw in a Cason Wallace. You could throw in an Alex Caruso at this point, right? I feel like Sam Presti, like, has already made a decision of, like, okay, we win, cool. If we lose, the window, and granted, you could argue that the window will stay open if you just keep this young core together, and maybe you're right. But if you just say, you know what, I have the capital, I have the ammo, I have the assets, I'm going to go get a guy to make sure Shea gets one, right? Because, you know, as we both know, it is hard to, I mean, it's hard to, like, make it back to the finals. Like, it's hard to get to the finals. It's hard to make it back, right? If you're the Thunder, I mean, dude, you're kind of in a win-win here, right? You lose, all right, cool. I'm going to go get somebody.
I think the Thunder, it is hard, but I think they've, especially in the West, separated themselves from the rest of the league, or from the rest of the conference.
Let's play this through. So Minnesota, I'm just naming like top teams in the West. Minnesota, Denver, why am I blanking on
like, oh, Golden Houston, State, Los Houston. Angeles, Houston.
Yeah.
I think they're better. They're like miles ahead of each of those teams.
That's currently constructed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. I'm really interested to see, like, I would not be surprised if, I'll be honest with you, even if the Thunder win, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if we wake up one day, Sam, you know, breaking news, Thunder have traded for all-star player. Like, I would not be surprised. That's Sam Presti, bro. That's Sam Presti. Like, that's what he does, you know? And maybe it's not, I mean, shoot, it could be another, like, Shea situation. you trade for a young guy, because remember, Shea was, I think that was his sophomore year when they traded for him.
Yeah.
And nobody, I mean, people thought he was going to be good, but nobody thought he was going to be this.
Yeah.
Right? So it could be one of those situations. You know, you go get a young guy out of a bad team, or, you know, a team that doesn't know what's going on, doesn't know the direction. And you never know what happens, man. I think it'll be interesting to see how the offseason plays out. Granted, I know the finals hasn't even taken place yet. We're just throwing stuff out here. But it would behoove me to not think about this, right? Again, the Thunder had so much draft capital, so many assets. It's like, it's almost like I'm sitting over here, I'm watching Sam Presti, and then you're just like, what are you doing? Like, I'm watching you. What are you doing? Like, I'm waiting for you to make a move. I know you're going to make, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I mean, he could just be sitting on all of this, man, sitting on all that gold just to have it, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, man, NBA Finals, Thunder, Pacers, this Thursday, first game.
Somebody's first ring.
A young pup will be elevated. Is it going to be Shea? Is it going to be Tyrese? Will Pascal Siakam get his second ring? Well, the young guns in the OKC, because I think they're they're the youngest team in the league, right? Like, will they pull it off?
The Rockets, you think they're younger than them?
Yeah, I mean, they got Dylan Brooks, they got Fred VanVleet. That skews them older.
That's true.
The Rockets are definitely young, but that skews them older. But, you know, you're OKC. I think the average age, I mean, Alex Caruso is the oldest guy on their team. And he's, what, 31? But everybody else is like legit under 25. So yeah, man, Thunder, young guns finally pull it off. Best team in the league. Will they pull it off? Mark Daigneault, will he pull it off? Or will Rick Carlisle, you know, NBA champion head coach, right? Will he figure out a way? Because I mean, if we're being honest, on paper, it's like for the narrative for most people out there, it's kind of like a David Goliath story. Last time Rick Carlisle was in that David Goliath story, and he was David. They figured it out. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, man, we'll see. I'm looking forward to the series. I hope it's a good one, man.
Definitely. A little more experience over on the Indiana side. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, everyone is kind of just predicting that the Thunder will continue their dominance throughout the season because they, like you said, they were head and shoulders the number one team in the NBA this season. So, I mean, I guess it all comes down to this. None of that matters if they can't pull it out. So, I think they can, but I hope they won't.
I think they can, but I hope they won't. Well, that's it for this episode of Bridge of the Rodeo, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo, man. I want to say this real quick, too. Shout out to all you folks that got our YouTube shorts a couple thousand views.
Yeah.
Appreciate you all. Keep watching, man. Clips gonna keep dropping. Keep checking us out on YouTube, TikTok, IG, wherever you can find podcasts. Literally, just please keep peeping us. We appreciate it. You know, the train's not stopping, man. The train is slow burning right now, but we are picking it up and going full steam ahead, man. So keep a lookout for us. I don't know. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think you covered it all. Yeah, just like, comment, share, subscribe.
Yep.
Keep tuning in,
man. Well, until next time, peace.
Later.